two passages of scripture to read. Please turn first to Matthew chapter 11. Give me the page number in a second. Matthew 11, but starting at verse 2, page 1240. Matthew chapter 11, verse 2. Matthew chapter 11, verse 2. But John, having heard in the prison the works of the Christ, sent by his disciples, and said to him, Art thou coming one, or are we to wait for another? And Jesus answered and said to them, Go report to John what ye hear and see. Blind men see, and lame men walk. Lepers are kept cleansed, and deaf hear. The dead are raised, and the poor have glad tidings preached to them. And the blessed is whoever shall not be offended in me. Second passage of scripture I'd like to read is in John chapter 20, page. I'll start there, page 1299, verse 24. Page 1299. John chapter 20 and verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and put my finger into the mark of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And 8 days after, his disciples were again within, and Thomas with them. Jesus comes, and doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be to you. Then he says to Thomas, Bring thy finger here, and see my hands, and bring thy hand, and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing. Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed they who have not seen and have believed. Subject of my, I guess, what I wanted to talk about is a little bit, it's about doubt and about proof or when we have doubt. And we have Angus here this evening. And I think most of us know that Angus is into his cars. If Angus came to us today and he said to him, I've got the fastest car in the world. Maybe some of us might believe him straight off, won't need any more explanation. Yeah, okay, Angus has got the fastest. Some of us might say, hang on a sec, I want to see this car. I don't reckon you've got the fastest car in the world until I see this car. Others might see the car and that'd be enough. And then some might say, well, no, wait a minute. I want to see this car in action. I want to see the times which are set for this car. I want it proved by official body of people to prove that this car is the fastest in the world and it beats the record of the previous car. And so people have different levels of faith in people. What about the story of Jesus in the Bible? As you look through the gospel, the books of the gospel, you see the story of Jesus. And can you say this evening that you believe those stories to be true? I believe those stories to be true. I know others here believe those stories to be true. Can you say this evening that you believe those stories to be true? You see, some of us maybe say, well, perhaps some of us here don't believe in the Bible. Perhaps some of us believe what want convincing that it's true. Perhaps some of us want proof. A lot of people like to have proof in these days. For example, if it's a sales outfit, you'd want proof that the person who's going to buy it from you has got the means to pay you. We sometimes look for proof in things. And yes, I could go into the proofs of why I think the scripture's real. I could prove to you, perhaps bringing some secular, as in non-Christian literature, about the events in the Bible that are confirmed in the which confirm what happens in the Bible. So people who aren't Christians or believers necessarily have written in history books about things that have happened in the Bible and confirmed it. I could tell you maybe about how certain people have been to Mount Ararat, they've seen the Ark, and how people have seen fossils of fish on the tops of mountains. How did they get up there? Maybe that points towards the flood. I could perhaps talk about that. I could perhaps talk about how the science of the Bible, as it was ridiculed in the day, such as the science of the circle of the earth, the fact the earth is round, which in the day of the Romans believed that the earth was flat. So But yet the Bible was true all along, and it's figured out that now that we've got more modern techniques of seeing that, we've obviously been into space, look back down the earth, you can see the earth is round quite clearly. You can see that these days. That's proved the Bible to be right. The various other things, prophecies in the Bible, which are still being fulfilled today, that maybe prove the Bible is true. But ultimately, we've got the story here of Thomas, haven't we? Thomas earned the nickname Doubting Thomas, didn't he? Because he was quite stubborn in believing. He said, unless I see and put my hands in the nails, where the nails went in the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the side, so if you remember the story of Jesus on the cross, the soldiers put a sword into his side. And Thomas said, unless I feel your side and feel that cut on the side, I'm not going to believe. And essentially, Thomas was fortunate enough to actually then see the Lord, and that was enough for him. He realised then that he doesn't need to see the wounds. Just seeing the Lord Jesus Christ was enough for him. But tonight, I can't say that I can present to you in a physical form the Lord Jesus Christ. I can present to you the Lord Jesus Christ through the scriptures, but I can't present to you the Lord Jesus Christ in a physical form. It requires for each of us to have an item of faith. We need to have faith. If we look again at this scripture of Thomas, it says, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed they who have not seen and have believed. There's an extra blessing. God's looking for you this evening. Although you haven't seen personally, physically, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's looking for you to put your faith and trust in him, that what is said in the Bible is true. There's an extra blessing for each and every person who does that. Thomas was fortunate enough to see the Lord Jesus Christ physically, but there's an extra blessing for each person here if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, put your trust in him. So, what if we really feel that we can't muster that faith? Well, that's why I read this passage in Matthew 11, because John the Baptist knew the Lord Jesus Christ fairly well, but he had a moment of doubt in his mind. He was in the prison and he was facing execution. He was facing the inevitable fact that he was going to be executed. And it happens to the best of Christians. We have times when perhaps we doubt. And John had this time when he doubted whether this Lord Jesus Christ who came, whether he was the true Messiah. And so what did he do? Did he give up? No. He sent out a messenger. He sent out a messenger to the Lord Jesus Christ saying, are you the true Messiah? Are you who people say of you? I've heard of these miracles. Is it all true? The Lord Jesus Christ came back with these verses, which are actually quoted from a quote from Isaiah, saying that the prophecies which were written hundreds of years before in Isaiah are being fulfilled. And that was in verse 5. And he said, blind men see and lame men walk. Lepers are cleansed and deaf hear. The dead are raised and the poor have glad tidings preached to them. These were his words of encouragement to Paul, to John. And I'm sure when receiving those words, they would have been of a great encouragement to John. But what's my point? The point is, if you find this evening that you don't have that faith, you just can't see, the scriptures as being real to you. You can't really make that step of faith. Then perhaps you need to ask the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer. Obviously, John sent a messenger, we can't do that, but you have the privilege of being able to approach the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer and speaking directly to him and asking him, you know, Lord Jesus, make yourself real to me, prove yourself to me. And I've heard of stories when people have done that and they've been convinced that something has happened in their life that has convinced them that the scriptures are true, the Lord Jesus Christ is real. So what does that mean if we do believe the Lord Jesus Christ is real? What does that mean? Well, when you read the story of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a story of how the Lord Jesus Christ loves each one of us. You see, he came into this scene. He came into this world. You have to remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is God manifest in flesh. In other words, he is God who was born into this world. That's what we remember at Christmas, the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world and he was born here as a man. And he went through this life and lived a perfect life. He did absolutely nothing wrong for his whole journey on this life. No one else can do that. But he came down here and endured lots of persecution. It was mentioned this morning that from the moment that he was born here, that there was Herod the king who was trying to kill him. And throughout his life here, he endured hardship, and it ended up in him going to the cross. So why did he go to the cross? Why did he endure all this for us? It's because each one of us have in our lives, we've sinned. We have in our lives sins. And you see, God is a righteous God. That means that God cannot accept any sin. Anything that we do wrong, God cannot accept that. He cannot have anything to do with that. None of us are perfect. None of us can be perfect. And that's the whole reason why the Lord Jesus Christ came here, is because God cannot accept that. The Lord Jesus Christ came in love to suffer and to die for us so that we can have our sins forgiven. No one is to have our sins forgiven. And although we have that distance with God because of our sins forgiven, we can have our sins forgiven and brought close to Him. And that means further blessings for us. If we put our faith in God, if we don't doubt, if we put our faith in God and just put everything in God's hands, realizing we're a sinner, turn to Him, ask Him for forgiveness, we come into much more blessings. We come into eternal life. The alternative to that is an eternity in hell, which is horrible. It's I can't stress how bad that would be, but eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ is the only option, really, it's the only option that you need to take, because what Jesus is asking of us here, he's not asking much. He's just asking us to forgive. He's not asking us to pay lots of money to the church. He's not asking us to go on pilgrimages. He's not asking us to live a perfect life, because he knows we can't live a perfect life. That's the whole reason why he came. All he's asking for you to do is to, first of all, believe on him. Believe that he was real, what he did here was real. Secondly, to confess your sins to him, to realise that you've done things which are shameful, which are wrong. And thirdly, you need to trust that the Lord Jesus Christ can forgive your sins. Ask for forgiveness. Those are just the three steps that you need to take this evening. When I said earlier about how if you don't have the faith to take, if you don't have the ability to take that leap of faith, when you read on later in Matthew chapter 11, it just very briefly mentions in verse 15, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." That's an important step to take. Once you, if you don't have that faith, ask God for that faith. Then listen. It's one thing just to say prayers, you know, and not mean them. If you say a prayer meaning it, and listen out for God's answer, He will answer you, and He will let you know of how real He is. And I just pray that everyone here this evening would do that. Everyone would be convinced that the Lord Jesus Christ is real. The Lord Jesus Christ, as I said, is not asking much. Just asking you, simply asking you to turn to Him for salvation. That's all He's asking for from you. He has poured out His love for you on Calvary. No one could show such a great amount of love as He did when He went to Calvary. All that He's asking is that you believe that. There's lots of things in this world to pull us away, lots of things to make us doubt. Even once we become Christians, there's many things which pull us away. There's many things that make us doubt. It's a challenge for myself. I quite like watching nature documentaries. Might sound a bit boring, but when I watch them, very often it talks about evolution. And sometimes those arguments can be very convincing and can seed sows of doubt in your mind. You need to come back to the scriptures. You need to come back to that relationship with God. And essentially, if you have trouble with doubt, if you have trouble with putting that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then ask for strength to put that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He will give you the strength to help you. Mm-hmm. And once you become a Christian, He will continue giving you that strength, continue helping you. Mm-hmm. And I just hope that each one of us here have put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. His name's sake.
Amen. Amen.